I'd like to refer to two scriptures in Luke's Gospel, firstly in Luke chapter 5, reading from verse 1, "And it came to pass, as the crowd pressed on him to hear the word of God, that he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen, having come down from them, were washing their nets. And getting into one of the ships, which was Simon's, he asked him to draw out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the crowds out of the ship. But when he ceased speaking, he said to Simon, 'Draw out into the deep water, and let down your nets for a haul.' And Simon answering said to him, 'Master, having laboured through the whole night, we have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net.' And having done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, who were in the other ship, to come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they were sinking. But Simon Peter, seeing it, fell at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord.' For astonishment had laid hold on him, and on all those who were with him at the haul of fishes, which they had taken, and in like manner also on James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, 'Fear not, henceforth thou shalt be catching men.' And having run the ships on shore, leaving all, they followed him." Then in chapter 8, towards the end of chapter 8, in verse 43, "And a woman who had a flux of blood since 12 years, who having spent all her living on physicians, could not be cured by anyone, coming up behind, touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her flux of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who has touched me?' But all denying, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the crowds close thee in and press upon thee, and sayest thou, who has touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Someone has touched me, for I have known that power has gone out from me.' And the woman, seeing that she was not hid, came trembling, and falling down before him, declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was immediately healed. And he said to her, 'Be of good courage, daughter, thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace.'" I've been thinking about things that go on, if I can use the expression, under the surface. We often think of conversion, the way that the Lord brings his work to light, perhaps in terms of a Damascene conversion. We know the story of Paul and how, as Saul, he was going from Jerusalem to Damascus, and he was stopped in his tracks, wasn't he? A great light shone out from heaven, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice speaking out of heaven to him, and he was saved. He was blessed. But God blesses in many ways, and sometimes he blesses differently, in a quiet way. We've read of Peter, how he was blessed. In a sense, things were going on under the surface. And with the woman we read of in chapter 8, what happened to her was hid from the crowd, although it wasn't hid from the Lord. But, you know, however the Lord works, it's miraculous. That's the important thing. However the Lord saves us, it's a miracle. There are still miracles happening today because the Lord is saving people. And I particularly was thinking of Luke chapter 5, and I think there's perhaps a bit of a process with Peter. I can speak of Peter quite freely because there's only one standing in this room tonight, so you can think what you can think. But the Lord is here. The crowd is pressing on him to hear the word of God, and he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. It's nice to see everyone here tonight. I'm glad that you've come, and I trust that you'll hear the word of God here tonight. We've certainly read from the word of God. God's word is precious. I was impressed this morning when the notices were given out that twice the Holy Scriptures were referred to. The Holy Scriptures. The Bible, my Bible says Holy Bible on it. Holy Scriptures. They bring God's blessing with them. And there were a crowd hearing the gospel, hearing God's word. And Peter was one of those there that was hearing the word. But the Lord comes down to Peter. Peter's, in a sense, on the periphery of things. He's washing his fishing nets. He's there. He's perhaps hearing what the Lord says, but that's not his full preoccupation. He's there washing his nets. But the Lord comes up to him and says to him, "I'd like to use your boat." Perhaps you've felt previously, sitting in a gospel preaching, that the Lord has started to speak to you. Well, he spoke to Peter, he spoke to Simon, said, "I'd like to use your boat." And you think of Simon. Simon, under the Lord's command, takes his boat out a little way offshore, still in the shallow water. And the Lord starts to teach. I wonder what the Lord taught. We're not told what the Lord taught. But I think it would probably be something like we see in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, the what we call the Beatitudes. Think of the Lord. He spoke of blessing, didn't he? Blessed are the poor in heart. Blessed they that mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers. And he spoke about salt and light. He spoke about giving and prayer and fasting. He spoke about human relationships. He spoke about the importance of things. He spoke against things like murder and adultery and divorce. He spoke about righteous judgment. He spoke about false prophets. He spoke about the narrow way, and he spoke about the broad way. And he finished, didn't he, by speaking about the two men that built on the rock. About the importance not only of hearing what he had to say, but doing something about it. Peter would have heard all this. In a sense, Peter was a captive audience sitting there in the boat. Perhaps you feel you're a bit of a captive audience here tonight. Perhaps you didn't exactly choose to come, but your parents have brought you here tonight. And you're hearing what Jesus would have to say to you. Well, we don't know if Peter was affected by what the Lord taught. As I say, it was in shallow water, wasn't it? You know, our emotions. Someone has said our emotions are the shallowest part of our being. You know, we can become emotional about things. We can be affected emotionally about things. That's why I'm not here to persuade you that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm not here to persuade you that he laid down his life for you and shed his precious blood for you. I'm not here to persuade you that he rose from among the dead. Because if I could persuade you of those things, then someone else could persuade you otherwise. It's only Jesus. Jesus that can touch your heart. If you're willing to be obedient to the Lord's command, then Jesus will touch your heart and he'll lead you into blessing. No, let's not be shallow. Let's not be superficial about things. Perhaps we come along to church because we enjoy it. We enjoy the hymns. We enjoy the praise. We enjoy the company. And we feel a bit good about ourselves. We're doing the right thing. We're saying the right things. But the Lord wants to get deeper with Peter, doesn't he? When he's finished speaking, he tells Peter to draw out into the deep water. The Lord wants to get a bit deeper with Peter. And perhaps tonight, he wants to get a bit deeper with you. Think of Peter drawing out into the deep water. Lord has got something else. And perhaps Peter doesn't mind drawing out into deep water. He's still comfortable. He's a fisherman. He knows what he's about. But then the Lord is going to test him. Speaks about letting down his nets. Well, you know, Peter was a professional. Peter knew all about fishing. And here was a man, if I can use that expression, coming along and telling him about something that he thought he knew all about. Certainly this Peter here doesn't like being told about things that he thinks he knows all about. You know, don't like being given advice about things that I think I know best about. That's a natural reaction to things. Well, Peter isn't like that. Peter is obedient. He does say, "Master, having laboured through the whole night, we have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." Think of Peter. He'd laboured the whole night. And perhaps you feel that things have been pretty tough for you. You've been trying really hard, struggling, striving through the night, striving in the darkness. You know, without the Lord Jesus in our lives, we are in darkness. We're in moral darkness. We're blind. We were reading this afternoon about two blind men. Well, they were in moral darkness. And we're all, without the Lord Jesus, in moral darkness. Striving, struggling to do what's best. But, you know, miserably failing because we need to see the light. How wonderful how John's Gospel starts, doesn't he? The light appeared in darkness. Think of the light, the Lord Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. How wonderful the way that the Lord Jesus could come in. Well, he's starting to get down with Peter. Peter's in deep water here, and Peter is being obedient. He says, well, I've been trying hard, Master, but at thy command, I will let down the net. Well, are you going to obey what Jesus would say to you? Are you going to be obedient? That's what faith is about. We're told that the gospel is preached for the obedience of faith. We're to be obedient to God's word. We're to accept it by faith. And so Simon lets down the net. Now, the net was what Simon relied on. That was his livelihood. It was the net that brought him the fish and brought him the money and meant that he could live from day to day. That was the thing that he really relied on. And certainly in my experience, the Lord tests me about the things that I rely on naturally. And perhaps the Lord is testing you today, tonight, about the thing that you rely on most naturally. Peter's net. And what happened to Peter's net? His net was broken. You know, the thing that I rely on the most naturally, the thing that I perhaps pride myself in naturally, I find that it fails me. I find that it breaks. The Lord, you know, would have us to be broken. What's the Lord looking for? He's looking for a broken and a contrite heart. Peter was broken. His net was broken. What he relied on was broken. And so he can... You think of while the Lord was speaking, I don't know how long it took for all these fish. You know, Peter had been fishing all night and he caught nothing. Whether these fish gathered gradually under the boat or whether at the moment the Lord said, cast down your net, they appeared, I don't know. We don't know. But you know, something was happening under the surface and something was happening in Peter's heart as well. Think of that. And the effect on Peter of this haul is remarkable. He falls at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord. We need to realise that we're sinners. We need to realise that sin is abhorrent to God. Often and rightly, the preacher speaks about the love of God. And perhaps we think that because God loves us, he'll overlook our sin. Well, the Bible tells us that God will not overlook sin. Sin must be dealt with. And how will God deal with a sinner? Well, the Bible tells us that God is a Saviour God who desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But we need to be saved by turning to Jesus. How did God deal with sin? God didn't overlook sin. God didn't pass sin by. God established a righteous basis on which sin could be forgiven. And that righteous basis meant that the Lord Jesus had to suffer and die at Calvary's tree. He was taken, he was nailed to the cross. We read this afternoon of the things that men did to Jesus. We were told that he would be mocked, that he would be scourged, that he would be crucified. Those things happened to Jesus. And perhaps we've heard them often in the preaching and they don't mean so much to us. But if we stop for a moment to think of the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus because of the hatred of men against him. And why did they hate him? The Bible tells us that they hated him without a cause. There was no reason for men to hate the Lord Jesus other than that he was perfect. And he made them feel bad. Jesus was so perfect, he was the shining light that he brought to light what was in man's heart. And that made man And that means me and you. It wasn't just people 2,000 years ago who lived in Israel. Men today despise the Saviour because he was perfect and they weren't. And yet he was the one that loved them. He was the one that died for them. He was the one that rose, as we read this afternoon too. And on the third day he will rise. Jesus rose from among the dead. Before he rose, after the hatred of men, there was that 3 hours of darkness. And that was when his soul was made an offering for sin. That was when God established a righteous basis on which you and I can be forgiven of our sins if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. 3 hours of darkness. At the end of it, at the beginning, Jesus could cry out, couldn't he? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken for you and for me, that our sins might be forgiven. And at the end, he could say, it is finished. And that's precious. Let us lay hold of that by faith, that it was finished, the work was done. I couldn't do that work. We're speaking this afternoon about ransom. The psalmist says, doesn't he? None can by any means redeem his brother, for the redemption of the soul is costly and must be given up forever. No one could pay that price except for Jesus. And we can be thankful that he paid the price. And so Peter has this impression, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. We need to realise that we're sinners. Sinners in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. And that all lies before us is judgment. If we die in our sins, we'll be raised in our sins and we'll be judged in our sins. But the gospel is preached because it's God's desire, as I said, that we should be saved. We should be delivered from judgment. And Peter was blessed, wasn't he? What does the Lord say to him? And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, fear not. I'd like each one here tonight to have the sense of being able to hear the Lord's word to them. Fear not. We should only fear not if we put our faith and trust in Jesus. But that's a precious thing, to be able to hear the words of Jesus, fear not. And having run the ships on shore, leaving all, they followed him. That's what Jesus would have us to do, to follow him. Leave all and follow him. We sang in our hymn, didn't we, about surrender. Surrender. I was impressed, someone was speaking and they said that today, a lot is said about commitment. But he said, commitment in a sense means that I'm in control. I can feel how committed I want to be. He said, surrender. He said, commitment has replaced surrender. Surrender is what the Lord is looking for. The Lord is looking for surrender. If I surrender to Jesus, then I'm giving all to him. I'm not holding any control over anything. I'm surrendering to him. We need to surrender to Jesus. We need to leave all and follow him, and we'll be blessed. We can read in the scriptures of how Peter was blessed. Now, I read of this woman in chapter 8. Life was difficult for her. You'll know from the Old Testament that if someone was unclean, as this woman was unclean, then life was difficult for her in the society in which she lived. She'd be shunned. If she was married, she wouldn't be able to have contact with her husband or with her children. She felt very isolated. She'd have felt, again, on the outside of things. I wonder if anyone here feels on the outside of things. Seeing other people in the full flow, in the blessing of things, and feeling on the outside of it, feeling unclean, feeling worried about his or her sins. Well, this woman is able to come, and come in faith. She tried everything else, hadn't she? I've been impressed about this 12 years, a woman who had a flux of blood 12 years. You know, what have I been doing for the last 12 years? What have you been doing for the last 12 years? For the younger ones, it's probably quite easy for you to answer. But, you know, 12 years. If you go back 12 years, it takes you back to the millennium. The millennium. What's happened since then? Have things been getting better? Or have things been getting worse? For this woman, Things have been getting worse. I don't know how things are with you. I can only see the outside. God knows our hearts. And don't let that worry you, the fact that God knows your heart. Because if God knows your heart, he knows if your desire is that you might be blessed, if you might be delivered from the condition that you're in, that you might be delivered from a condition that is getting worse and worse and worse. And that's what sin does. Sin gets worse and worse and worse. You know, sometimes sin can seem quite attractive to us. It appeals to us naturally. We see it around us in the world, sin, and we see people apparently thriving, fame and fortune and everything they want. And yet, when you see them towards the end of their lives, how sad, how sad. We see the effects of excesses of drugs and immoral living and all these things that have on people's lives. We see the effects. Those aren't the things that are advertised, are they? But those are the realities of life. Things get worse and worse and worse. And this woman was getting worse and worse and worse until she came to Jesus. She tried everything else. Don't try everything else. Don't waste your time. Hear what God's word says. The only answer is to come to Jesus. And it says that coming up behind, she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her flux of blood stopped. It's a precious thing. You'll be familiar with the scripture in Malachi. At the end of Malachi, it speaks about the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. And that word that's used for wings is the same word that's used here for the hem of his garment. Maybe that was why the woman came and touched the hem of the Lord's garment. She knew that scripture in Malachi that spoke about the Son of Righteousness. And in faith, she recognized that the Messiah was here as the Son of Righteousness. And she came and she lay hold of the hem of his garment because she knew there was healing in his wings. Well, there's healing with the Saviour tonight. Not physical healing. The Lord does heal physically today. But you know, he's looking to heal us morally. And this woman was healed. She knew in herself. The crowd around didn't know. But you know, my friend. You know, don't you, how things are inside. The Lord wants to heal you tonight. That you might know. In the same scripture in Mark, it says, knowing in herself. Knowing in herself. We need to know in ourselves. What gives us that witness? The Holy Spirit gives us that witness. We know in ourselves whether we're a sinner or whether we're saved. Jesus wants to save us. We can come in faith. We can lay hold of the hem of his garment. And we can be blessed. And Jesus wants this woman to come out. You know, if you've been blessed, if you know in your heart, if you know in yourself that you're saved and your sins have been forgiven, then Jesus wants you to acknowledge it. And it's a difficult thing to do. Has everyone here that's been saved told someone that Jesus has saved him or her? You know, you'll be blessed if you do. Jesus didn't want to embarrass this woman. He didn't want her to feel bad in the crowd. Jesus wanted to give her a blessing. And she comes trembling. And how we tremble. How we tremble when we confess the name of our Saviour. But if we confess the Saviour's name, there's a blessing because she's able to tell the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was immediately healed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a blessing to hear the testimony of those that have been blessed. I don't know how many years ago it was. I heard a man probably about my age, 10 years ago, 15 years ago maybe. He didn't say a great deal, but he spoke about the drugs and the immorality that had marked his life. And he described himself as the scum of the earth. I don't like to describe myself like that. But you know, as a sinner, away from God, I'm no different at all. We were speaking, weren't we, this afternoon, about the two that went up to the temple to pray. Someone else has said that one went down dignified, the other went home justified. And how are you going to leave this hall tonight? Are you going to leave the hall dignified, but with your sins? Or are you going to leave the hall justified without your sins? Maybe we'll leave pride behind. Don't let anything stand in the way. It's too important. Jesus wants to bless us. Jesus is passing by tonight. An opportunity like those two blind men by Jericho. Jesus is passing by. Are you going to call out to him? He's waiting to bless you. Are you going to reach out in faith and touch the hem of his garment? And know what it is for him to say to you, be of good courage. Thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace. Jesus wants to bless us. May we put our faith and trust in him tonight if we haven't. If things are going on under the surface, then may they come to the surface. And may there be an evidence with each one of us in our lives that we belong to the Lord. We're here today and we enjoy the fellowship of one another. But tomorrow morning, if we're left here, well, it's a bank holiday, so it's a bad example. But Tuesday morning, you'll be going to school. You'll be going to work. You'll be at home. You'll be going about your responsibilities. What then? Will there be an evidence in my life that I belong to the Lord Jesus? Well, I'm challenged by these things, but trust we're encouraged by them too, that the Lord works in different ways. God works in a mysterious way. He works under the surface, but that things might be brought out, and they're going to be displayed in a coming day. Things are going to be displayed in their fullness. Think of the way that the Lord is going to be vindicated when he comes and reigns on this earth. He's going to be vindicated. What a triumph that will be. And when he comes, all those that belong to him will come with him in the triumph of his train. These are precious things. What wonderful truth there are in the scripture for us. But the Lord is working with us. And may each one of us be blessed. And may no one leave tonight dignified, but may we all leave justified for his name's sake. Amen.